God proved himself to be God, and I tell you what, in the mirror of this word right here, every man will see his need of God. Every man will see that he's lost, undone, and without God. But I'm glad this word offers man a helping hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Hope you had a good week. We'll let our young people be dismissed to their Sunday school class, and us that are older, and I won't elaborate on how old, but us that are older, our lesson this morning, a very timely message, timely lesson, is in 2 Kings chapter 17, and it tells about the fall and the captivity of Israel, and how true that is with them, with us, amen. I thought about this lesson, that the guy that put this lesson together must have been allowed to look ahead for the day and hour we're living in, because it so relates to us. The golden text out of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation. What is righteousness? Anthony said this morning, why don't people just live right? Somebody wrote a song, and the song said, what's wrong with living right? He asked me, he said, Brother Eddie, what's wrong with living right? I'll tell you what's wrong. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. They neither come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. That's what it is. But I'm telling you, we've come down a day and time where we're not only not living righteous, godly, and soberly, but we ain't got no problem with it. That really bothers me. When they start condoning same-sex marriages, by the way, I was told this morning by a preacher friend of mine that there will be a bill passed by our president within the next 4 years that'll make it a federal offense and a law against preaching against homosexuality. And I told him, I said, they better get the building prisons, because not just me, but a great cloud of preachers that I know that are called of God, have a mandate from God to preach against sin. And I'll tell you right now, I'm glad to go to prison before I'll forbear, like John the Baptist told King Herod. He said, it ain't lawful for you to have your brother's wife. It may have cost him his head, but it was worth it, amen.
There's a guy named Tony Perkins is trying to stop that.
Well, I don't know where they will or where they won't, but I do know this. Righteousness exalted the nation, but sin, that little three-letter word, is a reproach to any people. Now, that includes Americans, Chinese, Germans, Russians, Japanese, Philistines, Israel. That includes all people. It said any people. I'm telling you, sin's one of them kind of things that if you take it in your bosom, it will burn you.
That's right.
That's what the Bible said. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? It'll leave a mark on you. It left a mark on Cain. And I don't know. Everybody heard all kind of things about the mark God put on Cain. But I do want to know. I do want to say this. I know what put that mark on him.
Yep.
The Bible said he's of that wicked one. And he said, wherefore he slew his brother. And he said, why did he slay him? And here's why Cain slew Abel, was because his brother's works were righteous and his works were evil. Good to see Pam and Brian coming in here this morning. But this is a very timely Sunday school lesson. And righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It's a long lesson. I'm going to go as fast as I can. It says God's not mocked. If you could take God out of the equation, you could live any way you wanted to.
Amen.
Unfortunately, we got much to do with Him.
Amen.
I mean, the Bible says, Gaily, we can't do anything without His help. In Him we live, we move, and we have our being. I'd be insane, and my wife thinks I am, but so I would be insane if it wasn't for the Lord.
Right.
And He knows my thoughts. I know His thoughts about me, Gail. He said they're good, not evil. He's got good thoughts about me. He ain't my enemy. He's my friend. He's the only one that's truly trying to help me. And others do, don't get me wrong. But God loves me with an unconditional love. He knows what I need. He knows how to give it to me. And He knows that without Him help me, I ain't going to make it. Amen. The old proverb said that I may boldly say, Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, that I may boldly say the Lord is my helper. Hebrews chapter 13, I believe verse 6. But listen, God's not mocked. God helped a nation that thinks somehow He can pass some kind of legislation, put someone in some kind of office or position, and bypass God. And that's what they're trying to do. And by the way, at all that God dislikes. He winks at it, commands me everywhere to repent. But Israel got in trouble with God. That's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And they got in such trouble with God, the Bible said in verse 16, there was no remedy. Now what that means is there was no one that could help them. They were in a godly trouble. Trouble after a godly sort. It's the worst kind of trouble. Listen, I struggle sometimes with all kinds of things. But one thing I don't want to struggle with is my Maker. Amen? The Bible said, let the potsherd strive with the potsherd, but woe be unto him, Sister Anita, that striveth with his Maker. Amen. That's your moment. Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So it is important to have godly men in prominent position, Titus. We don't need to let just anybody in there. Now there are some people that are for some things that I cannot be for. I'm against some things. And some things therefore I can't condone. Now David made this great statement in 2 Samuel chapter 23 verse 3. He said, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. Don't tell me God don't talk. He talked to me this morning.
Amen.
He put several taters on my wagon this morning. Molly, I ain't got no room for no more. I'm in such a preaching mode right now. I'd like to take off right now preaching. Amen. But David said, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just. That's mandated. It's not optional. It's mandatory. If he's not just, he don't need to be in that position. Now, we got a bunch of hooligans up there. And I'll be nice as I can. I know everybody said, Brother Eddie, be nice. I wish I could sometimes. But you know what? We've got down to a point, Brother Brian. We don't care what people stand for. They just got to have the look. You know, I mean, I spent a little while in a mirror this morning, and even with every hair in place, I can't do nothing about it. I mean, what you see is what you get. That's just it, Sister Gail. I wish I did look like Joel Osteen. I'd save the whole world. Amen. But you know, I just ain't got much to work with. But there's one working in me mightily, and even though the outward man don't show, the inward man will declare, amen, that God in me, hallelujah. But we've got down to day and time, we kind of look like someone to star in a movie or someone to play a part or whatever. We need to find out what people stand for, and we need to prayerfully and carefully elect our leaders. But David said that God said to him that he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. If them men don't fear God, guess what? They're going to pass laws and legislation. Pam, I'm glad you homeschool your children. But they're going to have homosexuals up there. And they're going to try to indoctrinate the minds of your children. They're going, Sister Anita, God bless you, honey. They're going to try to indoctrinate the minds of your children to condone and endorse the homosexual lifestyle when God said it's an abomination in His sight. And there's going to be a day of reckoning. But until that day, we need to be careful. Things have really changed. They've changed for the worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Let's get on with the lesson here. Nations are but a drop in a bucket in His sight. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 15. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Verse 22 of Isaiah chapter 40. Our introduction here, it says nations are visited by God. Let me tell you, buddy, I thank God for that visitation. Amen. Sometimes they're visited with plagues. Sometimes, Margaret, they're visited with punishment. But I'll tell you one thing, there's never been a nation that was ever plagued or punished that didn't need it, that didn't bring it on themselves. God's gracious, good, long-suffering, patient, kind. But I'll tell you what, buddy, He don't condone some things that they're condoning. Nations are punished, even destroyed because of sin. And their evil ways and their transgressions against the commandments of God come at a high price. And it lay at the foot of Israel's rejection. The prophets Hosea and Amos paint an awful picture about the condition of Israel. And you know what they had? They had luxury. In that luxury, they had oppression. They had lewdness, drunkenness, idolatry. And the service of God was nothing but lip service, which is soul hated. Now, we're having a service today, and I hope you didn't come today to do lip service. I hope we all come to worship God in spirit and truth. And I promise you this, we'll leave differently than we came in if we did come for the right reason. But all they wanted to do was lip service. He hated that. There was no truth. There was no mercy. There was no real knowledge of God in the land. That's Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. But by swearing and lying and killing and stealing, they break out, and this is an unusual mention here in the Bible here, and it said blood touches blood. Does anybody know what that means? Well, don't look at me like a calf looking at a gate. And blood touches blood. Does anybody know what that means? They had interracial marriages. God told them not to do that. God told them not to mingle with the other nations. And the reason He told them that He's trying to raise up a godly seed. Now, I want you to know there is a difference between the Abel seed and the Cain seed. Cain was of that wicked one. Abel was of that righteous seed that God, that second Adam talked about his blood, speak of better things than that, the blood of Abel. But I want you to know, God had something better in mind, but they got to intermingling. And they had also whoredoms, they had wine, new wine, and it affected their heart, Hosea 4:11. They had false balances. What that means is, instead of gas being like it was when I was a teenager, fill up is 25 cents a gallon, now it's $3.59. It's the same gas. I guarantee it's probably better gas, Molly. I guarantee I take a milk jug full of each one of them, hold it up, and you say, I don't see no difference. Well, the only difference is the price of it. Well, the reason that price is so high is there's so many people with their hand hung out, and they want them billfolds padded, and they want to give them CEOs, I can't even count the number, Brian, but it's something like, you know, in the billions of dollars for doing nothing but pull a parachute, jump out, and leave the mess for someone else. Amen. More so to go over good on the internet, amen. But hey, listen, they had false balances, and also they were interested in making gain in the wrong way. Now listen, I do believe in buy and sell and get gain. I think that motivates the whole world. Everybody wants to turn a dollar into $10 to do it myself. I go down to Goodwill and I buy something for, well, I went down there one time and I bought an abalone shell for a quarter and put it on eBay and it brought almost $80. I'm interested in that. But I didn't do it deceitfully. I listed it. I told the size of it. I told the weight of it. Someone, I guess, wanted in a mighty way. And they fought over that thing. Made all kind of offers on it. I'm interested in making a gain. But I want to do it honestly, not deceitfully. They were interested in making a gain no matter what. And they were doing it deceitfully. And they didn't want to hear about their sin. And the priest, they murdered anyone that spoke against what they're doing. Therefore, doom was pronounced against the nation Israel. And also it was pronounced that they would go into captivity beyond Damascus. That's in Amos 5:27. But then the end came upon them. Then they could not be passed by anymore. Now, I just brought all that into view. We'll get into the lesson now. But I want you to know God's still on the throne. All souls are subject to Him. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And there'll be somebody today that'll know the reality of that. And I would like to help them, but some people I can't. There are some people so determined to meet the doom and the damnation of meeting God on the wrong terms. Our country is getting close to that. I think there's still some good in America. And I thank God for it. I think it's kind of holding back. You know, the judgment coming upon you. Let's get in our lesson here. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. Now, they had men out there in towers to kind of keep an eye on enemies. And when the enemy came, the man that was in the tower, he'd blow the trumpet and the city would get ready for an attack. But I want you to know that God had marvelously delivered them out of their bondage in Egypt. But Israel had fallen into bondage again and become slaves to idolatry. And when I say idolatry, and you think that's way back yonder, believe you me, if something comes between you and your God, it's idolatry. Now that first commandment back there on that wall says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's why he needs to be first. Matter of fact, them first four commandments deal with man's relationship to God. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And remember the Sabbath, keep it holy." I don't worship on the Sabbath day. No, I don't. I worship on the Lord's day. I'm not a Jew. John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Jesus done every work he done on the Sabbath day because they made that day into a god, and he wanted to show them it's just a day. Amen. Well, I'm telling you right now, he needs to be the God of that day. And I want to gather in the house of the Lord on the first day of the week. Yes, I do. But they had come into idolatry. God had driven out their enemies. But Israel had fallen into worshiping the very God of the enemies that God had driven out. God told them to destroy those images and get rid of them. And they didn't. You better do the same thing. The Bible said in the book of Romans, not to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We need to have a holy house cleaning. My daughter asked me an amazing thing, Sister Molly. She said, "Daddy, will you come over here and anoint my home and pray over my home that it be a godly habitation?" I said, "Absolutely, yes, I will." I baptized her last night. She's dead serious. Amen. Wasn't nobody there. Me and my wife and the granddaughter and my daughter. Bethel Baptist Church accommodated us in the request. They're going to baptize some today. I told Brother Rick, I said, "When are you going to fill the baptistry up?" He said, "Saturday morning." I said, "Can I use it Saturday night?" He said, "With my blessing." We had a silent baptism over there while they was doing the Christmas parade in Glasgow. But my daughter's dead serious. Why'd she get dead serious, Brother Eddie? I gave her a set of New Testament Bible on tape, read by Alexander Scorby, and she's read the New Testament all the way through, Sister Gail. And the reason she wanted to read it all the way through is because she got surgery coming up December the 10th, and she wanted to set her house in order. Yeah. That's fear of God. That's good. That's clean. And anyway, I am going to do that about her house. I done took care of the baptism. We haven't got around to the house clean yet, but we are going to do it. But they didn't get rid of the false gods. They didn't clean them up. They didn't destroy them like God said. And ended up falling into adultery. If God had given them commandments about this, but Israel didn't keep them. God made a covenant with them, and He promised He'd bless them, but Israel failed to keep their part of the covenant. You know, a covenant is between you and someone. If me and Brother Anthony entered into a covenant, he'd have one part to do, I have another part to do. A covenant is two coming together and agreeing about something. William, it ain't no good unless both people do their part. And God sent them prophets. That's just warning. But they wouldn't listen. Matter of fact, they killed them. And they did secretly worship these false gods. But I'll tell you right now, there ain't no secrets with God. He knows all. Amen, Sister Molly. They done it under a cloak. They covered the adultery with pretenses. And then it was a worship of a Jehovah. What hypocrisy that they did. There's my Baptist whisper this morning. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll have some life in your day. But life is a test of what we are. And also of what we ought to be. And you'll have a determination in the outcome of that. Verse 10 said, and they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. These groves were stone pillars connected with the worship of Baal. Israel used these with self-invented rituals instead of the express command of God. You know, I got a King James Bible this morning. I know it's America. But the reason I got a King James Bible, it's got zero additions. It's got zero omissions. It's Greek and Hebrew and English. If I didn't have this, I couldn't preach the Word. God had to supply it. And the Bible said in Psalm 68, verse 11, the Lord gave the Word, and great was the company of those that published it. There was a lot of blood shed so I could have this Bible, Sister Gayla. It's got as much blood shed for it as the people that loved the Lord throughout all the generations. I mean, there are people who have been slaughtered just so I could have this Bible in my hands. It's been bathed in blood. They burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. They burnt incense to these false gods, and incense that symbolizes worship and prayer. You'd find that in Psalm 141, verse 2, and Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. And verse 12 said, they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Now, my mom and my dad told me a lot of things not to do, and I was bound and determined. I went ahead and did it, but I found out why they didn't want me to do them after I did it. I'm like Anthony, I wish I'd listened to him. We was talking over this morning. He was talking about how he wished he'd listen. And I said, amen, I wished I'd listen. And we had the Charity over there. She wasn't feeling good this morning. I said, hint, hint, Charity, listen. And just trying to carry over that thought. But they didn't listen. I didn't listen. Maybe you didn't listen. But we should have listened, amen. But those idols represented a visible representation of a God. While Jehovah, the true God, was an unseen God. That's why by faith we live. And the Bible said the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, God said, my soul have no pleasure in him. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God looks for faith. Philip, he said, I ain't going to believe unless I see with my own eyes the nail holes in his hand and thrust my hand in the wound in his side. Jesus showed up and showed himself to Thomas, and he said, Thomas, be not faithless. Put your finger in the hole of my hand, thrust your hand in my side, and believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen, you believe. He said, blessed are those that believe without seeing. That's faith. Amen. Verse 16. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets, by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways. Keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent unto you by my servants, the prophets. He showed them clearly their sin. And the prophets were sent, Elijah and Elisha, Jonah, Amos, Hosea, And they warned the people, and especially Amos. But I want you to know the Bible said the way of the transgressors is hard. And they wouldn't listen. They went down that hard road. Proverbs 13, verse 15, the way of the transgressor is hard. And as a drunkard has a hard time breaking a habit, the bears of disease and sorrow and poverty and loss of self-respect must resist the restraining power of friends and family and love in order to pursue his habit, his downward course. That's what they did. They made poor decisions. Verse 14, notwithstanding, they would not hear, but they hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers. They did not believe in the Lord their God. You know, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall certainly be destroyed, that without remedy. You know what that means, Titus? That means when you first warn someone, they listen to you. They might not do it, but they listen to you. And then the next time, they about half listen to you. And then later on, they just walk away while you're talking because they're not going to listen to you. And they harden their neck and they just walk away and they're not going to turn around and look back. They're determined, like Frank Sinatra, to go their way and to do things. He said, I did it my way. And when they do that, they're going to suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It's sad, but it goes on. And they have an unbending obstinacy and self-will. They will not commit their ways to the Lord. They will not commit their ways into His hand. Their inward thought is they know better than God. Amen, Anita. Thank you for that. Amen. And sadly, that's the mindset of today. The Bible said the carnal mind's at enmity with God. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. Verse 15, and they rejected His statutes and His covenant that He made with their fathers, and His testimonies which He had testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Rejection has consequences. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's a good way, and there's a hard way. And you better be careful in your choices. Amen. Rejection was a result of their unbelief. The law was an agreement between God and His people. He had promised to preserve them. He had promised to defend them if they would obey Him. That's Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1, verse 9, verse 13. But they rejected God's statutes. They adopted the ways of the heathen, verse 8. And it came with a high price. Verse 16, they left all the commandments of the Lord their God. Have you noticed the asserted effort to take the crosses out, to take the Ten Commandments out, to take prayer out, to take the name of Jesus out? I mean, we don't want to offend no one. How about offending God?
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And all this effort, you know what we're doing? We're embracing the ways of the heathen. And believe you me, it'll come with a high price. We're no better. We're in the same category of Israel. But they adopted the ways of the heathen. They left all the commandments of the Lord their God. And they made them, now this is unthinkable, but please listen to this. They made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. Now, the rise and fall of Israel is a picture of what's going on continually among us and the world. The whole course of history is a mirror in which sinners see themselves continually repeating, and the bright hopes and the possibilities of the blessing and the loving care of God is forsaken. And you know, all our good, you know, and all of our things that we do, you know, if it wasn't for sin, we could get blessed. But we don't put away sin. We try to make some kind of terms with sin, some kind of accommodation. You know, just a little sin. I mean, Lot said, hey, there's a little city over here. Can I just go over there? Ain't it just a little one? We just want a little sin. But a little leaven, amen, leaveneth the whole lump. But those sins against God, they sinned against God's grace, God's goodness. And the result was they didn't heed the warnings by the pastors and the preachers and the prophets and the Word of God. And the irrevocable ruin come upon them. And their end was worse with them than the beginning. Amen. Let me tell you something. If sinners don't repent and turn to the Lord for mercy, they'll find themselves just like Israel, buddy. Verse 17. They called their sons and their daughters. Sister Margaret back there got a little precious bundle of flesh right beside her, Anthony and Melissa's grandbaby there. And I can't go here. My mind just can't go there. But here's what they did. They caused their little children to pass through the fire. And they used divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking the anger. This was done in the worship of Moloch. This idol was made completely of solid brass. And the head of it was of a calf and had a crown upon it. But also it was hollow. And a furious fire was burnt inside this hollow image of Moloch. And when the arms of the thing, when the arms were just turned red hot because of the flame, they would throw their babies into it, and they were immediately burned to death while the cries were drowned out by the drums. And that's how bad it can get. Pam, we're not far from getting there. I can't think a thought that bad. I can't imagine someone getting in that state of mind or having that kind of insanity. And yet, you know, we got abortion clinics everywhere from somebody's another. I mean, we don't even blush about it. I mean, now it's common language, but we do the same thing. We're sacrificing our children to devils. That's what they're doing. But witchcraft of Jezebel, magical practices, drew a lot of people into adultery. Some even today trust in magical practices. Practices, astrology, micro magic and horoscopes and spiritual rapping and the like. And that supervenes the Word of God and church and all that. You know, it's a bad trade, but a lot of people do it. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel, and He removed them out of His sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. When God gets angry, I'm going to tell you something, it's payday. And the moral indignation and intense hatred of sin. They ate the fruit of their own way. They were filled with their own devices. They set at naught all of His counsel and would none of His reproof until fear came upon them as destruction and as desolation, and their destruction came as a whirlwind. That's in Psalm chapter 7, verses 11 through 13, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29 through 31. And it made them physically weak. It divided the councils of the nations. We're in that controversy now. By the way, Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. In Mark chapter 3, verse 24, and nations divided cannot stand also. But God sent their calamity. He sent their destruction. It was from the Almighty. Even though the Assyrian was the rod, it came from God, and His anger was vented on Israel. And He gave Jacob to spoil and Israel to the robbers. That's in Isaiah 42, verse 24. And the Lord removed Israel out of His sight, out of His favor, out of their own land, as He'd said by the prophets. He said that heaven and earth would not pass. And there wouldn't be one jot or one tittle of the Word of God fall to the ground. This Bible is as eternal as God is. I mean, He sent this Word, it's eternal. They would be a ruin. And even though He raised them up, they became a ruin because they wouldn't do their part. And as Israel was, by miracle and oracles, brought into existence, He took them out. And they brought it on themselves. They provoked Him to anger by their wickedness. It was their own sins, their own doings that broke them. And it laid their honor into the dust. Nothing but God separated them between them and Him. And the cause of their desolation was their own fault. You know, you look at Solomon's glory in 1 Kings chapter number 10, verse 18 through 29. I mean, you read about Solomon. I mean, buddy, he's got riches. He's got peace. Man, he made silver to be as plenty as stones. He had great wealth, great peace, not one single enemy. That's wonderful. He reminds me so much of America, Brother Anthony. But then you get into 1 Kings chapter 11, you read verse 1 through 12, and you see Solomon's fall. The very first verse said he took unto him many strange women. Now listen, Solomon's a leader. And he already had a covenant between him and God. Man, I never heard such a prayer as the one Solomon prayed when he dedicated the temple. He even included us in that prayer. But he took unto him many strange women, and those strange women turned his heart from the true and living God to false gods. But he got in trouble, and it was trouble after a godly sort. He's a farmer. No. Now, I'll tell you exactly why he wanted them, Charlotte. There's a devil down here. This devil's determined to defeat your purpose. This devil's determined to put something else in your hand than the Word of God. Something else in your heart than living for the Lord. And I'm telling you right now, there's a real devil down here. You'll have encounters with him till you get out of here. He's an adversary.
I never shared him with 700.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, who in their right mind would do something like that? I agree with you. But as the king, I'm sure he made all kind of leagues and agreement with other nations. And they said, oh, by the way, you got my wife, my daughter to be your wife and all that. Oh, you're going to try to get that wasp. Amen. Well, let me get off of here, turn this thing off. That's a good Sunday school lesson. Very applicable Sunday school lesson. Amen.